as a teachable moment. With that said, we know that not everyone will get on board with what we have to say, but that's not what we're looking for. Instead, we aim to convince enough people that until Black lives begin to matter, the United States of America will never be a liberal, egalitarian democracy. We know that not everyone will get on board with this book because they will not believe the information we share. The facts we provide will be new, shocking, and sometimes inconceivable to some. But as they say, truth is stranger than fiction. We cannot make this stuff up, and we have not. We rely on accurate portrayals of U.S. history and society. We rely on peer-reviewed books and articles, well-researched reports from reputable organizations, and data publicly provided by the U.S. government. We integrate aspects of critical race theory with social science inquiry. We know that not everyone will get on board with this book because we are academic elites with an agenda. Yes, we have an agenda, best characterized as an effort toward anti-racism. The interpretations and perspectives are our own, and as Charles L. Edson, an affordable housing attorney, wrote, "If any are controversial and serve to keep the audience awake, so much the better." How should you use this book? Stay Woke is a little unorthodox, but the structure of this book is inspired by the many conversations we have had with our students, generational peers, colleagues, and college administrators, as well as folks from social justice organizations and anti-racist trainings. Each chapter provides some insight into a contemporary or historical aspect of anti-Black racism in order to cultivate identity as an anti-racist or one who strives to change the norms and practices that allow racism to exist, as explained by the prominent sociologist Eduardo Benilla Silva. We begin in Chapter 1, on the matter of Black lives, by looking at why the Black Lives Matter movement is necessary, by illustrating how structural racism operates and detrimentally impacts the lives of Black people. We set the table for collectively thinking about how to enact change. We know that there are plenty of people who are looking to fight back, so throughout the book, we provide tools and ideas about how to do so, especially for those of us who benefit from white privilege. We have noticed that progressives and conservatives do a lot of talking past one another. They throw around all kinds of esoteric words and reference concepts that seem universally understood. But both groups often have different meanings in mind. To facilitate your way around the bumpy terrain of racial language, we have placed a glossary near the front of the book in Chapter 2, all the words people throw around, as opposed to in the back of the book where most glossaries are relegated, so that we can all be on the same page about some basic and advanced racial terminology. You can listen to each entry one by one as they appear or out of order. You can refer to them when they come up in the book. We boldface these concepts as they appear throughout the text, or when the pundits on the news bring them up. But ultimately, it is a toolkit we have built for folks who want to know more so they can do more. There are also some common sense notions that we aim to re-examine here. In Chapter 3, The Politics of Racial Progress, we evaluate the extent to which U.S. society is on a steady march toward a post-racial reality. We make clear that although Americans love the idea of racial progress, it is not inevitable. Racial progress is the product of resistance, demands, and vigilance. In Chapter 4, Are You Upholding White Supremacy? We consider how difficult it is to see what is right in front of us, our own behavior. Here, we highlight how average Americans, progressives, and conservatives across racial lines talk around race. We bring attention to this issue in order to show how even well-meaning patterns of behavior can serve to the detriment of the most vulnerable people in society. Afterward, in Chapter 5, It Doesn't Have to Be This Way, we elucidate the fact that the policies that cause the most problems are drawn up and implemented at the state and local levels of governance. What this means is that we don't have to have the ear of someone on Capitol Hill. Instead, we each can take on leadership positions and advocate for the changes we need.